So I had planned to come in here today and introduce Chad Baruch, who needs a little introduction. We love having him every year. He's the chair of the State Bar Board of Directors. He's a former college basketball player and professor. He's board certified in appellate law, and he's won numerous awards for continuing legal education, legal writing, and defense of constitutional rights and civil liberties. So I said I was planning to introduce him. I get here today, and I find out he's not actually here. Instead, Sherlock Holmes is here with us this morning.
Good morning. The game's afoot. It's really quite elementary. Watson, the most critical part of our job is drawing inferences, the process of making deductions based on the evidence. Often these deductions, these inferences, are actually more reliable than direct evidence, particularly in the case of eyewitness testimony, which we know to be notoriously unreliable. We simply evaluate our deduction, our inference, in light of all the known evidence and in relation to all of the other circumstantial evidence. Without these inferences, Watson, we might never solve a case. All of which sounds reasonable coming out of Sherlock Holmes's mouth, but actually what I've done is pieced together four or five statements from the United States Supreme Court, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, and the Texas Supreme Court concerning the use of inferences in reaching verdicts and judgments. So today, I'm going to offer you questions, not answers. There are no answers because the state of the law governing inferences in civil cases in Texas is hopelessly confused. What I'm hoping to offer you today is enough information that you simply can recognize the issue when you see it, understand both sides of it, and make a compelling argument on whichever side you happen to be on. As I'm going to explain, you can argue both sides of this issue in complete good faith and with rock-solid precedent, probably in the very court you're in front of, because a number of our courts have rock-solid precedent going both ways on this question. It is an issue that could use, I think it would be an understatement to say that we could use a wee bit of clarity from the Supreme Court of Texas on this issue. So, let's see if I can figure out how to do this. Look at that. All right. Okay, let's just start with the concept of what an inference is. And you can see there the Black's Law Dictionary definition, simply a conclusion reached by considering other facts and deducing a logical consequence from them. So you're deducing a fact from other facts already proved or admitted. Now we want to immediately draw a distinction, and I'll explain why, between an inference and a presumption. There are a number of cases using them interchangeably, particularly older cases. They are, of course, completely different. A presumption is when a trier of fact is required to draw a certain conclusion, and that can be rebuttable or irrebuttable. So, for example, the family code imposes a rebuttable presumption that the standard possession order is in the child's best interest. You can fight it, but it's a presumption. And then there's the irrebuttable presumption about non-lawyer employees receiving information they actually worked on at a former firm. That's the difference between rebuttable and irrebuttable presumptions. But they are definitely different from inferences. So here's what I would call sort of a garden variety way this issue might arise in a very simple context. And that would be in the context of a house or building sale, right? And after taking possession of the home or the building, the purchaser discovers termite damage, undisclosed and unseen termite damage, and what we might call masking repairs. Someone has fixed where that damage occurred. The inferences there, assuming you have no direct evidence, which you're probably not going to, the inferences there are, number one, that the termite damage existed before sale. Number two, that whoever made those masking repairs did so for the purpose of covering the termite damage. And number three, that it was the seller that probably either made or had made the masking repairs. And the question here is, that is undoubtedly the stacking of inferences, right? I mean, we are stacking one inference on top of another to reach an ultimate question or an ultimate answer concerning liability. And so you can look at this two different ways. There are court decisions that would say this is entirely reasonable. In this case, actually, the Court of Appeals said, You stacked two inferences, and we have an absolute bar against stacking two inferences in Texas, and therefore, you're out. That's it. It's over.